This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
I'm going to give you, perhaps an even quicker now, given the time, background about the Youth Justice Agency in Northern Ireland, and also tell you about our youth conferencing process that you've heard mentioned in various forms from various speakers this morning and this afternoon. So if we just look very quickly at the background, there was always youth justice in Northern Ireland. When we talk about establishing in 2003, obviously, community work was still going on with young people in what I can call the normal types of court orders prior to that. But during the Good Friday Agreement, the Criminal Justice Review recommended a whole new way of looking at youth crime, and recommended through the Criminal Justice Review, and very, very many recommendations about justice came out of that, but one of the most significant was taking a restorative approach towards young people in the justice system. So at that stage, the Youth Justice Agency became an executive agency at that time of the Northern Ireland Office, and following devolution last year, now the Department of Justice. So our mission statement's always been to reduce youth crime and build confidence in the youth justice system. We have a set of values there that you'd expect to see. One of the things I want to try and emphasise today is that the Youth Justice Agency doesn't just deal with youth conferencing. There is a much bigger picture around youth conferencing and around youth justice that shouldn't be forgotten just when we're talking about restorative justice. And that's why I included in the slides for you our key business areas from our business plan. Because obviously, whilst we're developing restorative justice, we are consciously looking for positive outcomes for young people through the work that we do. And I also run a juvenile justice centre within the Youth Justice Agency. Again, the restorative ethos goes right through the agency, but we have to ensure safe and appropriate use of custody for young people within that too. And if I get time, Charles, you'll stop me if I go on too long, then I will talk a little bit about Woodlands as well, because it gives you a bigger picture of the agency. So within the Youth Justice Agency in Northern Ireland, there are four directorates: community services, youth conference, the custodial service that we provide, and the corporate services behind that. Why have I mentioned all four? Well, I think when we've had many visitors to Northern Ireland, I've been there for the last, just coming up 6 months, as chief executive in the Youth Justice Agency, but have been over there for nearly 7 years now, prosecuting prior to joining the Youth Justice Agency. So I've seen this from many angles, and I was, as assistant director in the Public Prosecution Service, very much involved in the setup of youth conferencing in the early days. So we've seen wide drafts of visitors coming, including the Commission, and I think we tend to show people the conference, let them view a conference and see what's happening. And it's easy to forget then that the Community Services Directorate pick up the plan that comes out of any conference and do a whole load of work with the young people afterwards. And I think that goes back to one of the questions this morning where somebody talked about restorative justice is not a sticking plaster that's going to solve this. I have to say I agree in some respects with that comment. It's hugely good. It's hugely vital work. Hugely good to involve a victim in decision-making process. But we have to remember that young people still have those many issues that we have to deal with in different ways, in creative ways of working with young people in justice. Quick map of Northern Ireland there to show you that I have many offices, not just the Belfast office that most people come and visit us at. And there's actually no more than 7 miles between each of my community offices across Northern Ireland. That does kind of imply that Northern Ireland's an island on its own. You have to imagine the rest of Ireland behind there. We also have a service where we can bus young people into the relevant offices for the services that we provide as well. So what did this Criminal Justice Review bring? Well, it brought the new understanding of youth justice. So we're moving away from a traditional way of looking at the traditional court process that you've just been talking about in all the papers that are about in England at the moment, towards a restorative way of dealing with young people. So we're not looking at the traditional tariff justice within the courts for sentencing. We're actually devolving that decision-making down to those who've been involved in the offence. So from that, we got legislation. And I think that the important message is that through making legislation, it gave a good foundation for the restorative process to work, and it was to encourage the courts. And what we got from that was that the court must order a youth conference, except in the most serious cases of murder, manslaughter, the serious indictable stuff, and also in the terrorism offences, where of course it wouldn't be necessarily appropriate. So from that we get a youth conference, but a youth conference can come up in two ways in the legislation. Firstly, through a diversionary youth conference, from the Public Prosecution Service sending it straight to the youth conference team for a conference to be held, or through a court ordered following conviction or plea of guilty. So it's interesting when we think that the court must consider. That has led to a large number of youth conferences, as I'm sure you've seen from the various reports. So what does a youth conference actually do? Well, it gives offenders the opportunity to understand. It also gives them the opportunity to make amends to the victim. Also from that, we want to take steps to reduce offending, and that's the work that goes on after the conference as well. So we can involve families, victims, communities, and the young person themselves in making decisions about what can be done to put right harm caused. I think it's always important to remember when we're talking about this process that it's not going to be right for every young person, and it's not going to be right for every victim. And it's important, even when we have legislation that says we must do something, that we do consider those exceptions for the circumstances where it's not right. So that's why I called that slide the balanced approach to youth conferencing. So just very quickly there to show you the legislation. Legislation covers all the requirements around the prosecutor, the court. The youth conference coordinator is mentioned in the legislation in the Justice Act Northern Ireland. And it gives the details of how once a conference is held, once the actual meeting's been held, that the young person will be subject to a plan. So that will come for the PPS to approve, the Public Prosecution Service to approve once it's been drawn up, or for the court to approve. Just very briefly again, who can attend a youth conference? The legislation covers all that as well. Solicitors can be present, and there is legal aid in Northern Ireland to allow defence solicitors to be present, but we don't see a big uptake of the legal profession coming to youth conferences. We just haven't seen that over the years at all. In terms of attending the youth conference, you can see there that the young person will be there, the responsible adult, the police officer in the form of the youth diversion officer in Northern Ireland, victim or victim representative, victim supporters. We try to limit the number of people in the room for a youth conference, and it has to be facilitated by a trained youth conference coordinator. The word trained is in there for a very good reason. Northern Ireland set this up as a new way of doing this. It was statutory, there was legislation. A huge amount of training and preparation went into this. This is not something that happened overnight. A large number of coordinators were recruited and specially trained to deal with those meetings, because it's not just about dealing with the young person in the meeting, you have to prepare the victim as well for the meeting. There's a lot of preparation goes on before a meeting and after as well. So what can come out of a plan? There are various statutory requirements that can come out of the plan. Apology, reparation, payments for damage. And this is where it gets more interesting, because the reason why a conference can be portrayed as a soft option is because we don't often talk about the more difficult elements of a plan. And they will be familiar to you in terms of the Youth Rehabilitation Order, for example. It's very similar elements to what you would see in terms of unpaid work, participating in activities to address offending behaviour, restrictions on conduct, and that can now include tagging, and also treatment for mental drugs or alcohol dependency, mental health conditions, alcohol or drugs. So very much of those things you would see in the current orders that you have before the court, and the level of the plan can escalate in terms of the requirements, in terms of repeat offending and level of offending behaviour at the time. The only thing about the youth conference order is it is limited to a 12-month period. And this is something that we're looking at in Northern Ireland at the moment in terms of persistent offenders and the length of that plan. So if we look at some of the programmes that are available for young people, you'll see there that we cover a wide range, and we try to involve the community as much as we can in the delivery of the programmes for young people during the period of the plan. Offender and offence awareness are incredibly important in this, and the community team that I have works specifically to develop the right plans, keep up to date with developments, and make sure that the work we do with the young people after the plan is done to prevent offending behaviour and to address any problems. Interestingly, the youth conference plan can now also include, and has always been able to include, a recommendation of custody. And again, that takes away the argument of, is this a soft option? It's no different to the other elements that are available in youth courts as a sentence. The big difference is that we start with the conference meeting. What happens after the conference? The conference coordinator will encourage, motivate, and enable a young person to keep to their conference plan, working with my community services teams. non-compliance dealt with, and we do try to resolve the difficulties if they're small in relation to actually completing plans. But ultimately, if the young person doesn't comply, then the case will be referred back either to the Public Prosecution Service if it's a diversionary youth conference with a view to possible prosecution, or if it's a court-ordered with a view to a different sentence if non-compliance is going to continue. That's a matter for the court. So how effective is it? The key question, the science. Since we introduced youth conferences, there have been, that's an exact figure for you, up to last week, 7,608 youth conferences, and over 44,000 people have participated in them. We talk about victim representation there, and a 67%, that's the up-to-date figure, slightly more up-to-date than the reports that you have there, had victim representation. I think it's important. I know that internationally, the definition of restorative justice includes direct and indirect victims and how important both can be during the process. A lot of questions are coming to us at the moment about how many of the people who actually are in the conference are the actual victim, if I can say that. I know that indirect is equally as important, and community, etc. We could tell you that it's around, I can't give you a specific figure because we're still counting and it's a manual count at the moment, but I can tell you that it's around 45 to 50% is the victim who was involved in the crime. Satisfaction rates, 89% is the current figure for victims. And interestingly, in a survey done by the Queen's University, which was a small sample, did say that 91% of victims prefer it as an outcome for young people. We have a high level of conferences that lead to a negotiated plan. It's a question that I was just asked in the last speech there to say, do you have plans rejected or amended? 93% lead to successful completion. Reoffending rates. I have to say that I would like to give you much more up to date, and since becoming Chief Executive in September, it's one of the things that I've put as a top priority, because I think it's really important that you, when you're looking at this over here in England and Wales, you get some more up-to-date figures from us, having done this since 2006. We only have the 2006 figures still, although I hope to publish 2007 within the next couple of weeks, which I'm sure will help. And very shortly after that, I hope to publish 2008 as well, which will give us as much up-to-date as we can for reoffending at this stage. You'll see there that for diversionary youth conferences, our one-year reoffending rate is sitting around the 28%. Court-ordered higher. By that stage, we are into repeat offending levels. And the figures do look favourable compared to, if I can call them, the traditional court-ordered sentences, particularly in relation to custody. But you may be thinking to yourself, well, I would expect that because by the time a young person has got to custody, they have been offending slightly more prolifically. So those figures come from 2006. As I say, I would like to give you more up-to-date figures, and maybe if you see me again in a few weeks at a different conference, certainly we'll be sharing them with the Commission very shortly. Very good reoffending statistic in terms of those who take part in a youth conference who have no previous convictions. Very low, 16%. Increases as we go up the conviction scale. Maybe you just say, well, I would expect that anyway. Because as we know, restorative justice is not going to solve reoffending. It's not going to cure it, otherwise we'd all be out of work. This is something that helps, and it's something that's incredibly important for victims in the right circumstances. It's incredibly important for young people in the right circumstances as well. But a lot of what we do after the youth conference is the work with families, with young people, that is equally important in terms of reoffending statistics. You'll see there those with more than 9 previous convictions, of course the reoffending rate is high. We did see a decline in the number of young people going into the Juvenile Justice Centre, a drop in percentage over the 2 years from 2004 to 2006. One of the statistics we're often asked about is repeat youth conferences. How effective can this be if we keep, with the same young person, having another conference and another conference and another conference? Our statistics show that just over 1% of the young people have gone through 10 or more conferences, court-ordered. It is a question that hangs over my head, not just as Chief Executive of the Youth Justice Agency, but also as a criminologist. I have to ask myself, when we repeat this process with a young person, particularly if the direct victim is not involved in the process, is it still being effective? Something that we're definitely looking very closely at in Northern Ireland at the moment. Also, when we look at that, I think it's really important, when I'm talking about a 1% figure there, that you recognise that in Northern Ireland we have a low level of young people who offend. I'm talking around the numbers for the whole of Northern Ireland of around 1,000 young people a year. So I think it's important to put that into context, because when I talk about 1%, it's a very different figure to 1% of the young offenders in England and Wales, and probably Scotland as well. So we do have a low level. I think that's something that surprises people, because I think you see Northern Ireland in the news in a very different context and assume that we have huge numbers of young offenders. It's not the case. So what are my challenges? It's always difficult when to race forward knowing that you all want your lunch. Challenges for youth conferences. I would say that if this is to be statutory in England and Wales, early days, preparation, preparation, preparation. That everybody must be trained, you've heard that from other speakers too, and that the right resources are there behind this. I have 40 youth conference coordinators running around 1,800 youth conferences every year. So that's a lot of staff for the number of youth conferences. You multiply that by the number of young offenders in some of the areas in England and Wales, you can see the type of resource that we have behind that. Persistent young offenders, I touched on that very briefly there with our 1% with 10 or more youth conferences. We set up a project that's now in its last 6 months, has been running for about 18 months, to look at persistent young offenders and different ways of dealing with them. For example, the circle of support and all the interventions, joining up with probation for those around the 17 to 18-year-old range, working together in the best way that we can, still having youth conferences, but making sure that all the work we do around with those young people and their families is as effective as it can be to try and address the persistent repeat offender. The other caveat at the other end of the scale is the diversionary youth conference plan. It's really, really important that it remains proportionate to the offence and to the fact that if we have said it's suitable, if the prosecution are intending to divert this young person from the court system because they're saying they're suitable for diversion, that the plan that comes out the other side is not disproportionate to that. And I have seen some examples of that, and I think it's really important that in the early days and the setting up of this, that the proportionality of the diversionary youth conference is remembered. For example, it cannot be a good idea for a young person to have large amounts of unpaid work to do if it's a diversionary youth conference, because that's verging on the equivalent of a community service order at a high level. And I think that's something that I would ask people to bear in mind if youth conferencing is something that becomes statutory here. Very, very briefly, I do also have a juvenile justice centre, which, again, is it's run by social workers rather than prison officers. And it's something, if you do come over to Northern Ireland to view youth conferencing, I'd encourage you to come and see the juvenile justice centre too. We do maintain our restorative ethos through our work there too, and youth conference plans are carried out with some of the young people who are in custody, who've got custody as part of the plan that's been ordered. And also there, I do have an educational facility that's run by the agency, actually within the facility itself. So again, encourage you, if you're coming over for a visit, that you don't just see a conference. Very brief update as to where we are in Northern Ireland now. You're in the middle of all your reviews. We're in the middle of one too. To get devolution of policing and justice, there was many, many meetings last year in Northern Ireland. And part of the agreement that was reached to allow devolution to be achieved was another Hillsborough Castle agreement from Northern Ireland. And from this, there was a very strong commitment to review how children and young people are processed at all stages of the criminal justice system. And this is to ensure that everything we're doing now is compliant with international obligations. Interesting, you might think, that reports here, commission reports, all the other reports are coming up saying, Northern Ireland, good idea, way forward. You might question then why we have a Hillsborough Agreement come out at exactly the same time from the Stormont government to say we need to look more at how young people are dealt with. This review is a very wide-ranging youth justice review going on now, and John Graham, who's been involved with the Commission, is over working with us in Northern Ireland, providing an independent review of all the work that's going on there. So it'll be interesting to see the results of that, hopefully in June of this year. And David Ford, just to give you a comment, because he's not here himself, so I'll pass it on his behalf. He said, as part of my agenda to reshape the justice system, it's important to take a critical look at where we are, what we need to do to further refine and improve our approaches to addressing youth offending. And what the minister would say is that even when we have a really good system, there's always better ways of doing things, and we should always be looking, critically challenging, and looking for the best way that we can provide services for young offenders. So the future. We've been recommended as world class, as you know. And what I would say is that we have to, in our own review, look at some of those challenges around persistent offenders and around some of the legislation for youth conferencing ourselves too. And it'd be interesting to work alongside the work in England and Wales with the green paper that's going on that you've heard about. And I'll leave just up there a slide with our website if you want to obtain further information. Thank you.
Thank you.